This is The Dugout, every Tuesday at 1 with Bump and Stacey. Inside access to the clubhouse from Shannon Dreyer on Seattle Sports, the home of the Mariners.
Welcome to The Dugout every Tuesday at 1 o'clock here on the Bump and Stacey Show. This week we got Curtis Rogers filling in for Stacey. I'm still here. I'm Michael Bumpus. Thanks for joining us. Man, we ain't going nowhere, but it's like here. we gotta start this thing all over again. You know what I mean? It's all Mariners for the next hour. We should be joined by third base coach Manny Acta here pretty soon. But tonight, man, let's just focus on tonight.
Right? Yeah.
It's a 2-game series against a team that on paper is better than what their record shows. So it's not a game or a series that the Mariners are going to come in and we expect them to win, but it's a winnable series.
It is. And look, I mean, the Mariners are probably approaching this series against the Padres in that way, but I bet the Padres are approaching it in the exact same way the Mariners are. Like, Hey, we have underperformed to this point in the season, but here is a golden opportunity to rid yourself of what has happened in the most recent past and to stack some wins in order to get back on track, because you've got the Padres in this series, and then following this one, you've got a series against the Angels. And, I mean, look, the Angels have, obviously, Mike Trout and Shohei Ohtani. Like, that's no surprise to anybody. But they have not been super impressive this season either. So even though the road trip has gotten off to a bad start, there's still a chance to rectify things over the course of what the next 5 games on this road trip. Like, there's an opportunity here.
I like how you said that, but you know what? We're going to be joined right now by third base coach Manny Acta. Manny, how you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. How are you guys doing?
We're well, man. We can't complain. Talking baseball on a Tuesday, man. How was your day off? How was the day off for you and for the team coming off that tough series?
I thought it was a great day off for everybody. Some people went out and played golf. Some people went to the zoo. But everybody just relaxed and reflect on what's ahead of us. It was a tough series, but, you know, you win some, you lose some. And they do have a very good ball club, and they put it to us over there.
Manny, on days off, do you guys give the players maybe things to work on or just kind of – hey, when we get back together, I hope that you've got this figured out. What goes into an off day in during the baseball season?
Well, it's a long season, so the days off are days off. But what goes into it is a lot of video watching, especially from the players. Everybody has access to everything, and you know, as coaches, the majority of the time, the day off. It precedes a series. So what we do is we try to prepare for the next series and spend a lot of time over the day of yesterday after you go out and play golf or whatever you do. Then the rest of the day you spend it going over scouting reports and videos and stuff like that. So for the players, it's mostly at rest and just watch some videos of themselves. But it's mostly about resting physically and mentally.
Manny, I've played on some teams that had some struggles, and during those moments, there's always a player or two who kind of steps up when the coaches are there and when they leave the room and have a couple words to say. Who's that guy for the Mariners in these situations?
Well, we have multiple guys that can do that. You know, we have Gino, it's a guy who's done it in the past year. We have Tom Murphy. We have guys like Teoscar and even Julio, even as young as he is. So we have a good group, man. And to put it in perspective, he does look like it's the end of the world, but it isn't. We had a rough 3 games over there in Texas, but we were coming from winning 7 out of 10 games. The thing is that obviously you want to cut down the lead that they have on us right now, and playing them would help, but we just got to put that behind it and start a new week here in San Diego today.
Manny, Brian Wu got off to a rough start in his major league debut. What's it like from a coach's perspective when a guy makes his major league debut and it doesn't go well, or has a couple games where you could tell that, you know, it's a lot different than playing minor league baseball? What's that like from a coach's perspective when you see a guy who debuts and it just doesn't go his way?
Well, it's hard for us because, first of all, we know that the mental aspect of it is it's the most important one. And a lot of these guys that have come up here have had a good debut. And also, they have we have the background on them of being mentally strong. And Brian certainly fit that mold. We feel that he's got a good makeup. But it's not easy for anybody to come up here and have a rough outing. But he's a guy who's going to have an opportunity to come back out and show what he's got. And, you know, if you look at their lineup, they not only have a good lineup, but right now they're doing some things that are unrealistic. I mean, they have guys on the bottom of their lineup hitting over 300, and that's not going to happen. It's something that over time it'll go away. But it was a tough time to be facing them, especially making your first big league appearance. But we feel that he has the stuff, and he's going to get an opportunity to redeem himself, and he's mentally strong, so hopefully it won't affect him. But that's the thing that we as coaching staff pay attention to, is how are the next couple of days are going to affect him, and is he going to be ready to come back out in 5 days when it's his turn to just throw the ball over the plate and not be be away from the contact zone.
Yeah, sometimes it's all timing, right? You got Bryce Miller who makes his first start against the A's, and then now you got Wu against the Rangers who are playing out of their minds right now. You mentioned the bottom of the lineup with guys go over 300. That's wild. So, and thankfully, you guys play them seven more times, so we'll catch them again, Coach. But now I want to talk about the Padres, man. The Padres are a team that's in a weird position as well, right? They spend a lot of money. They got a bunch of talent over there, but they're not seeing the production that they would like to see. I look at the Mariners and the Padres and say these are both two really talented teams that are just struggling at this moment in time. So here's an opportunity to this next couple of days just to try to get things right. What are you seeing out of the Padres?
Yeah, as you mentioned, I mean, they're a team that it's loaded with talented players, and right now they're like 29th and hitting in the major leagues, and that's something that it's not going to stay there, as we all know, because it's a very long season, and you know, a week changes everything. You could go for a week and put things in order, and then the very next week struggle, and I won't point my finger at you guys, but that's your job, and the people that are covering ball clubs on an every single day basis, I mean, they have to do their jobs, but it's not like the season is over in a week, or the season we're making the playoff in 2 days and stuff like that. But that's what happens when you play 162 games. And right now they're struggling offensively, and we are just taking steps forward because Julio got hot. You know, Ty is coming back. Hale is showing the flashes of the hitters that we're expecting. And Cal is swinging the bat better too. So we're hoping for a couple of more guys to, you know, get added to that list, and our offense can back up that good pitching that we have. But, you know, it happens from week to week. In this series in Texas, our young kids got hit around. So basically, as you mentioned, was a coincidence, probably. But, you know, they faced the two youngest bucks that we have here, and those were the one that I really struggle. I mean, Castillo pitched pretty well against them, and now we're going with two of our big guys over here in San Diego and try to turn things around. But, you know, from week to week, as I mentioned, things change. We were coming from 7-3, and then we lost three in a row. So it's time to put that behind and play the Padres today and put a foot forward.
Manny, Mariners, you know, we're seeing a little more aggressiveness on the base pass this year with the pitch clock. And a guy like Jose Caballero, who comes from the minor leagues and has experience with the pitch clock, to be able to use it to his advantage, is there maybe a delicate balance, you know, maybe being too aggressive on the base pass? Because in certain situations, especially like if a pitcher uses his two throws over to the base, it kind of almost forces the runner to go. How do you as a base coach kind of use the pitch clock maybe to your advantage or help your base runners use it to their advantage?
Okay, let's make something clear. I know that there's been a little bit more aggressiveness overall with this thing, but still, the guys that are going to run are the guys that we're supposed to run regardless of the new MLB rules. The guys that can run will run. The guys that can't are not going to run because of the, you know, the clock. Not too many things have changed other than, obviously, the restrictions. Caballeros, it's a guy who knows how to run the bases, and you guys have seen he knows how to use the clock too. So some of this stuff has forced the pitchers too to be quicker to the plate because they know that people are being more aggressive, and you know the game situation dictates a lot of that stuff too. Because you're down by 3-4 runs, you don't want to be over aggressive and be giving out the weight on the bases just because the guys can throw over more than twice. And you know, I know that people are seeing a little bit of a spike on it and all that, but regardless, the guys that are running are the guys that we're going to run regardless. It's not like all of a sudden now the slow DH is trying to steal bases or catchers are trying to steal bases and stuff like that, but. It is good. We see more people running, and all we can do is put some of these guys in the best position to be aggressive and steal bases. But other than that, not much is going to change. If you can run, you can run. If not, you're going to get the green light from the skipper. I mean, the red light from the skipper.
Hey, speaking of stealing bases, coming into this year after paying Julio a whole bunch of money, I'm like, man, I hope he's still aggressive on the bases. You know what I'm saying? And it seems like he has been. Is how often do you guys work on base running? You know, like, is that something? Because I feel like during the season, your main thing is to make sure guys are healthy, right? Healthy and just working on their game and getting through. Are you kind of just set at the beginning of the season? Like, okay, this guy's going to have the green light. He's good to go, and we're not going to change too much.
Yeah, Scott, he has all that set up. You know, we pick and choose the guys that are going to have green lights. But even those guys, depending on the game situation, he's, you know, he can put the red light on because he sees things that most of the base runners don't see. And as far as working, it's an everyday basis on every aspect of the game. You know, we got Chris Negron here who is in charge of that, and he works with them on a daily basis. It doesn't mean that we bring guys out there and make them run, you know, 50 sprints over to second base and time them and stuff like that. But, you know, the mental aspect of it and situational situations.
Manny, this Mariners team has been striking out quite a bit this season. Is that an area of emphasis that you guys have kind of been pointing out to the guys, like, hey, let's make a little more contact here? Or is that just kind of a byproduct of baseball here in 2023?
Yeah, it's something that you have seen that it has gone up in the game every year. And it's something that we do address and we do worry about it. It's not something that we take lightly. But, you know, the pitching nowadays, it's unbelievable. And our hitting coaches work extremely hard with these guys, and some have gotten a little better. But, you know, still, that's the name of the game nowadays. You know, just about everybody wants to hit for power, and I don't know if that's going to change anytime soon. The main thing is being able to kind of know who you are and also identify which of those guys we should put up with all those strikeouts and which guys should be more contact oriented and get on base.
All right. He is third base coach Manny Acta. Thank you for joining us, Manny. Have a good one.
All right, guys. Thank you.
All right, take care.
Thanks, Manny.
That was Manny on the Emerald Queen Casino Sportsbook Hotline. It's time for MLB headlines now. Okay, the first headline. Juan Soto had some choice words for his teammates following the Padres' loss on Sunday. Cut number six.
I don't think I'm the guy who responded to that question.
Okay.
You know, I think we have those guys down there. They know better than me. I don't know. I really don't know what is going on. We have such a great team. But I don't know. It is. I just don't know what is the answer to that question.
So what I gather from that quote from Juan Soto is like, hey, I've been doing my job. Talk to these guys like Manny Machado. Talk to these guys like Jake Cronenworth. Talk to all of them. Like, they're not the ones holding up their end of the bargain. Juan Soto right now has an OPS of 883, an on-base percentage of 413. Like, he's producing for this Padres ball club. But you look at some names on this team. Austin Nola, remember him from the Mariners?
Yep.
Hitting a .131 this year. You've got Trent Grisham, a .93. Matt Carpenter, .184. Nelson Cruz is on the 10-day IL, hitting only .238 with a .651 OPS, three home runs. Gary Sanchez leads their catchers in home runs with three. He's only played in seven ball games this year.
Oh my goodness!
This Padres team has, I think they have underperformed more so than the Mariners have this season.
Yeah.
And it's not just the offense for them, but it's also the pitching staff as well. Guys like Joe Musgrove, who's starting tonight, he's got an ERA up near five right now. Ryan Weathers with an ERA over five. So this Padres team, I mean, it hasn't gotten to that point yet with the Mariners where you've got, you know, people saying like, well, I'm doing my job. How about this guy? Like, Juan Soto saying that, like, it's clear something in that clubhouse is not clicking. And it's weird, too, because they've got a really good manager in Bob Melvin, somebody who I think has, you know, been able to oversee a lot of really good ball clubs in his career. So, look, I'm glad that, you know, the Padres are going through it just as bad, if not worse, than the Mariners.
You know, it's like what I tell my son sometimes, his soccer team and basketball team, full of talent, right? And then you go out there sometimes and it just ain't working. And he comes to the car, he goes, Dad, what is it? And I look at him, I go, man, sometimes it just be like that, dude. Like, you know, just things aren't clicking, guys aren't performing, they're hooting and hollering and yelling ain't going to do nothing. It's just sometimes it's like that. So just keep battling through. And but I hope that the Padres remain the Padres we know for the next two games so we can grab one. Next headline, Toronto's Alek Manoah might be the worst starting pitcher in baseball this season just a year after being their ace. What does that mean, Curtis? Break it down for the folks.
That dude has had an awful, awful start to his season. In fact, today he was sent down to the Florida Complex League, so he's going to be just basically hanging out at the Blue Jays spring training facility, working on his stuff for the time being. And, man, last year he started, I believe, game one of the wild card round against the Mariners. And he was filthy last season. He was an all-star. But this year, you look at his numbers. So last year he won 16 games, had a .224 ERA, pitched nearly 200 innings, struck out 180. Only had 51 walks. This year, in about 140 fewer innings, has nearly the same amount of walks. He's got 42 walks already this year. He's got an ERA up over 6. He's 1-7. He has been brutal. A whip of nearly 2.
Shucks.
I have not seen a pitcher fall off like this so quickly in a long time. And you do kind of wonder whether, you know, maybe it's the yips or something like that. Like, that's a real thing in baseball,
yeah,
is guys getting
it.
The yips.
Yeah. I get the shanks every now and then.
So,
I get you. Hang in there, brother. Keep working, keep working. Next headline is Marlins second baseman Luis
Arias.
Arias, his batting average is up to .399. Do you think we'll ever see someone hit .400 again? Ted Williams was the last to do it in 1941.
I don't think we'll see somebody hit .400 again, but boy, would I love to see it. I would love to see somebody in this day and age in baseball, when everything is so specialized, when you have so many relievers, where you're seeing a different pitcher, you know, nearly every time through the order. at this stage of the, of baseball. Like, that would be, I think, an even bigger accomplishment than anybody who had did it or who had done it, you know, back when, you know, that era of baseball. I mean, if you think about it, 1941 was like pre-color barrier in, right, in Major League Baseball. So that's how long ago it was. Luis Arraez's numbers are insane right now. He's got a .399 batting average. He has only struck out, Bob. You know how strikeouts are on the rise across baseball. Everybody's striking out.
Oh, we know all about strikeouts,
yeah,
over here.
Yeah, we do. Luis Arraez, in 231 plate appearances this season, has only struck out 11 times.
Goodness gracious.
Yeah. This guy is, he's a throwback player. Last year, there was a controversy in the All-Star game because he was selected as an American League first baseman despite only having played a few games there.
Yeah, I remember that.
And Ty France didn't get the nod.
Uh-huh.
I mean, Luis Arraez, I took that personally. I guess that's what's going on here. But, yeah, man, I hope somebody does get to 400 one day. Mm-hmm. That would be just a statistical marvel. Think of all the great hitters in baseball from post-1941 onward, and none of them got to 400, like Tony Gwynn, George Brett, like all these tremendous, just like Ichiro never did it. Like,
I cannot imagine someone hitting 400.
Yeah.
The consistency, that would be the most, to me, that would be like on some Tiger Woods consistency from like 97 to 08, 09.
When he had all four major championships at one time?
Yeah, I hope I live to see that day. But I understand how hard it is to hit a baseball. Real quick before we go, Curtis, ESPN made a early All-Star team, AL All-Star team. And Julio is not starting, but he's on the team.
I saw that.
And Castillo is on that list. Are you okay with Julio as of now, where he is right now? You think that's accurate? Julio not starting, but Castillo still being on the list too.
Yeah, I think an All-Star game without Julio Rodriguez in Seattle would be I would not tune in. Right?
Right.
Like, he is the star of stars here in Seattle, and an All-Star game without him, even in a reserve role, I don't think would be. I don't think it would be received quite well here with the hometown fans. I think he is, even in a down year compared to his rookie season, if you're looking for the biggest names in baseball, he's got to be on the American League roster.
Got to do it. Got to do it. Make it right. All right, more to do here on The Dugout. When we return, we're going to speak to Mariners broadcaster Aaron Goldsmith. That's next on The Dugout.
You're listening to The Dugout every Tuesday at 1 with Bump and Stacy on Seattle Sports Station, the home of the Mariners.
Welcome back to The Dugout every Tuesday at 1 o'clock, 1 to 2. We got Curtis Rogers filling in for Stacy, and speak to Mariners broadcaster extraordinaire himself, Aaron Goldsmith.
Extraordinaire?
Yeah, extraordinaire.
Okay.
Yes. Aaron, why is he hating on you?
Well, I just am really curious if you're going to quote any of C. Rogers' stats with him right next to you in the co-pilot seat today, you know?
Oh, man.
I mean, are you going to take all his material, Bump, or are we just going to let C. Rogers with his half-baked stats, you going to let him handle that on his own today?
I'm taking all of them, man. I'm taking all of them. Hey, Aaron, one, thanks for joining us today. And two, what's going on, man? I'm a little nervous, but I've looked at the schedule. There's some opportunities for the Mariners to beat some teams that they're supposed to beat, but there are also a lot of really good ball clubs left out there. Just give me your feel of the team right now and what's been going right and what needs to be fixed.
Well, I agree with you on the schedule standpoint in a number of ways. It starts tonight with the Padres, a team loaded with talent that has underachieved so far this year. The Angels are, at least record-wise, in a fairly similar boat to the Mariners, or at least they were headed into the road trip for the M's before the sweep in Texas. And then you come home and you've got the Marlins, who are, I think, exceeding some expectations. They're hanging around with a better record and some big-time payrolls in the East, and the White Sox come to town. So you're right. I think overall you can identify this current pocket in the schedule and say this is a pocket where the Mariners can make a little bit of noise, because then it gets significantly more difficult. The Rays, Yankees, Orioles, a couple of those on the road. But, man, the Mariners have had a really, I don't have to tell you guys, a really tough go the last couple of series. And I think, to me, the part that has been the most kind of like gut punch is that the Mariners' greatest strength has been has looked weak for the first time this year, and that is the pitching. And we've seen double-digit runs posted on the Mariners more times than they certainly would like to have seen in the last couple of series, and once before that against the Pirates. And, you know, some of that, like one of those games, right, Brian Wu makes his debut, so you never know what you're going to expect there. But it came by some very noteworthy starters before that for the Mariners. I think this road trip, in my mind, was a big one for the Mariners because you were going to face two division teams and then one team of the Padres that, again, have not performed well but have a lot of talent. And how do the Mariners stack up? And so far it has not gone well.
Aaron, the Marco Gonzalez injury last week dealt a blow to the starting rotation. And, I mean, Marco is kind of a polarizing figure amongst Mariners fans. You know, he's the number five starter. What kind of impact is his absence in that rotation right now? Because even though he is the number five starter, he's a guy you could count on more times than not getting you five, six, potentially even seven innings. Now Brian Wu fills that spot, and Wu just doesn't have as much experience, obviously, as Marco.
You know, there is a phrase of inning certainty, and every rotation needs to have some guys that you can say, yep, I can pencil him in for this many innings. And I know that every 5 days when he takes the ball, I feel really good that he's going to get at least five innings and get into the ball game at least a decent clip, right? We all would love to see six or more. That's not going to happen every night. But Marco, for years now, in his own way, has proven that he can do that. And, yes, he has a much finer margin than the other members of that rotation, right? If his command is off, it's typically a short day for Marco. But more days than not, his command is on, and that results in him getting five or six innings in the majority of games that he starts. I think we have become spoiled, and we've been accustomed to these young pitchers coming up and popping right away and being mainstays in the rotation. And we all know who those guys are. And, hey, Brian Wu might make another start and could look like anybody else in the rotation, right? Anything can happen. But one thing that did teach us is that this is a really hard game. And when you are 23, 24 years old, and in Wu's case, you have very little pro pitching experience in the grand scheme of things, and you face the game's right now hottest lineup in their ballpark, that's a tough landing, man. And, again, it could go completely a different direction if he gets the ball again. But having a guy that you know is going to go out there post every 5 days and give you five to six, I know one thing, every manager wants a rotation full of those guys, whether they throw 88 or 98. So hopefully it's not something all that serious for Marco, because he is a guy who he might be the back of your rotation, but he's a guy that more nights than not you can count on.
Yeah, Aaron, we spoke to Manny Acta, and I mentioned that half the issue with Wu is like you're going up against the Rangers, whereas Bryce Miller had the A's at home against 10 people. Just a different environment, different field, different team. What did you see and hear from Wu at the lower level that makes you any type of optimistic that he might be able to get it right at his next start if he gets it?
I had a good talk with Andy McKay, the Mariners assistant GM, who was formerly the Mariners farm director for years, part of this whole regime that has produced so much talent from the lower levels. And so Andy's got a good relationship with Brian and knows his story very well. And the first thing that Andy touched on was his makeup and what they love. The one thing that they love as much about his fastball is his demeanor. And he's a NorCal guy. He's, as he has told us before, he pitches like his personality. I mean, he's an easygoing, doesn't get rattled type of person and pitcher. And so I really, after that first inning, with that kind of in our hip pocket in terms of knowing what kind of guy he is, I thought that maybe there's a chance that the ship could be righted a little bit. That didn't turn out to be the case. But I think now that first one is under his belt, whenever that second one comes, he will be better for it. What the rest of his season looks like, obviously none of us know the answer to that. But I do know that they had to feel good about his makeup and his mental makeup in particular for them to call him up when they did against that lineup for a guy who, because of injury and the pandemic, has had very little pro experience. It's around 100 professional innings prior to that debut against the Rangers. So I think that's what you lean on. Whether that means we're going to see that come to fruition this year or further down the road, your guess is as good as mine. But they love the person as much as they do the pitcher.
Aaron, a big talking point this week has been sort of the control the zone phrasing. It's been a calling card of this front office really ever since Jerry DePoto and Scott Servais took over. But with the high rate of strikeouts the Mariners have had this season and sort of the low on-base percentage, is it still working? Is it something that they may need to look at in the future? I know it's so incredibly hard to change your approach mid-season, but are they getting the results that they had planned on with this lineup?
Not at all, right? I mean, the issue right now for the Mariners offensively, and this is so obvious, but if for anybody who's thinking, go acquire a bat at the deadline, which maybe they'll do, but before that happens, the Mariners got to play better. I mean, they have to play to their abilities. There's no question that the majority of that lineup is underperforming their perceived expectations. And those expectations come based on a track record. This isn't just throwing numbers up against the wall and saying this guy will hit this with this many homers and this many doubles because of a calculation. No, it's because of what they have already done and have a track record. And when you believe that they will hopefully do as a result, I mean, the one guy that you can kind of remove from that is Kelnick. Anything that Kelnick has given this year, obviously no one had any firm expectations. But beyond that, from as experienced guys as Teoscar Hernandez and J.P. Crawford to guys with basically a year under their belt like Cal Raleigh, I mean, these are all guys who are not performing. They'd be the first to tell you they're not performing how they expected. This lineup is not performing how Jerry and Justin and Scott Servais and you, the fans, expected. They have to get back. They have to get back to dominating the strike zone. No team will thrive, let alone be able to hold water for very long when you are top five in strikeout and bottom five in slug. Like, if you're going to strike out at a top five clip, you better hit the daylights out of the ball. You better be rocketing doubles and home runs to make up for the swing and the miss. And Scott even said on the last homestand that the strikeout rate would at least be somewhat more palatable if there were doubles and homers to go along with it. Because keep in mind, no one is looking for this lineup to have a bottom five strikeout rate. I mean, last year, they walked in the top five. They struck out around middle of the pack. I mean, this team does have swing and miss baked into it. But with that comes the upside of doubles and home runs, and homers in particular. It was a top 10 home run hitting team last year. That's not been the case so far this season. So this is not going to be a team that hits 270 as a ball club and strikes out the third lowest rate in baseball. This will be a team that if they're able to repeat something similar to last year, they will walk and certainly in the top 10%, top 10 in the league, in the game, not just the American League. And they will hit homers in a top 10 rate, and they will strike out probably middle of the pack. In my mind, for this offense to click, when you drop the numbers of which team has scored the highest rate of their runs on the long ball, the Mariners should at least be in the top 10. And somewhere maybe on either side of the top five. Like, that's the personnel of this team, and it hasn't happened. They got to get back to dominating the zone. The pizzas are there. The personnel is there. Now it's been 2 months and change, and it hasn't clicked yet. There's still 100 games left, right? But you can say that there's 100 games left, but also realize you got to get the pedal to the metal. Like, it's got to start to happen.
Well, let's hope it happens tonight, man. He is Mariners broadcaster Aaron Goldsmith. Aaron, man, we appreciate you.
Hey, good to be with you both, especially even you, Curtis.
Oh, thanks, Aaron.
A little brotherly love right there. All right, coming up next to close out the dugout, we got Mariners insider Shannon Dreher. Stay tuned.
You're listening to The Dugout every Tuesday at 1 with Bump and Stacey on Seattle Sports Station, the home of the Mariners.
We are joined now by Mariners insider Shannon Dreher. Shannon, how you doing today?
I'm doing well. How are you guys?
We're doing okay. You know, we're going to be doing even better tonight because I think that the Mariners are going to get right. We know the Padres have a talented roster over there. They went and spent some money, but it's not working out for them the way that we felt the Mariners would get going, too. They're struggling as well. So we got two teams that aren't performing the way that we hoped they were. What do you need to see tonight? I mean, I know, right, you got to control the strike zone, good pitching, get on base. But is there a player specifically that you're looking forward to see if they can kind of turn things around tonight?
Well, I think it all starts with the starting pitching. And so, you know, putting the ball in Logan Gilbert's hands, you generally feel good about that. He's coming off a tough one in his last time out, but he's a guy that goes to work, you know, finds answers when things go wrong. And I really do think has the tools to go out and dominate on any night as long as he stays out of the middle of the plate. And the last two lineups that they have faced are lineups that could really do a lot of damage on that. So I think that's something they need right now. I think that'll kind of give a little bit more of a feel of ease with the offense. If, you know, there is frustration when they can't put the runs up on the board, but you get sunk pretty quickly when the starter puts multiple runs up early. So you hope that Logan Gilbert goes out there and puts up the performance that you know he's fully capable of doing.
Shannon, Jerry Dipoto mentioned about a week or so ago that they were hoping to see Andrés Muñoz and Dylan Moore rejoin the team in this Padres series that begins tonight. What's the likelihood of seeing at least one of them, or maybe what's the likelihood of seeing both?
I think we will see Munoz tonight. I am not sure about Moore. I also know Penn Murphy is on the way back right now as well. We are also hoping to get some more news on Marco Gonzalez. So it will be a busy day as far as the injury news and the roster moves go. Justin Hollander is going to be on this portion on the trip. He is going to give us a full update of the injury situation and the roster situation. I'm sure he'll take a couple of other questions as well. So I would stay tuned to the Twitter throughout the afternoon. Of course, the pregame show, we'll have all the latest on that.
Shannon, have you been around service? And if you have been, what's his energy and what do you think his message is to his team after a tough series against the Rangers?
I think that I think that there has been times of frustration with Scott Service in that they have had a hard time kind of following an approach and making adjustments. And there have been times when the offense has gotten clicking and has gotten going. And there are other times when they seem to get off track. And a lot of times that does kind of play into what they are not doing as far as adjustments go within games. So I think that when he sees that, I think that there is a little bit of a frustration there. He's not a guy that's outwardly going to show it, but it is in the comments. And that's one of the things you never want to hear the words non-competitive from a manager, and you never want to hear the words not making the adjustments. And that is something that we have heard a little bit more here and there. Now, that is, you know, probably 10% of what he is. He's also the guy that is very good at turning the page, is very good at facing forward and focusing forward and kind of moving the team in that direction. As brutal as a series it was in Texas, kind of as a reporter and somebody who sat through all of it, I think the last thing I wanted to hear was, we're just going to flush this. But sometimes that's what you have to do. And that doesn't mean that you're going to ignore what happened or get into the root causes of it and attack it. I think it means more kind of just kind of flushing the emotion of the series and of the game and getting back to where you need to be. They're in a position right now that's not great. But in this game, typically, especially when there are 4 months to go in the season, and this is different from last year. I wrote about this last Friday, is we can't look at it as a similar situation because of the way the schedule is, that you don't have the direct shot at your division rivals, and the AL East is just absolutely, they've all kind of dominated. Since they're not taking shots at each other, they're not beating each other up, and they've got good teams over there with great records right now, that's going to make the path to a wild card tougher. But in this game, the first thing you do is you take a deep breath, and then you focus on winning series. And if the Mariners are able to kind of get that going right away, they give themselves a chance, and I'm sure that's going to be a big part of the focus going forward.
All right, let's hope they get it right. Shannon, thanks for joining us, and you enjoy that San Diego weather.
Thanks, Shannon.
The San Diego weather has been cloudy and 64 and windy. So
wow.
We're hoping for better as we head to Orange County tomorrow.
Thanks, Shannon. Appreciate you.
You got it.
Hey, guys, if you missed any part of the show, make sure you subscribe to the Bump and Stacey podcast, the latest on Seattle sports and news available right on your phone every single day, available wherever you get your podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, Apple Podcasts. Please rate and review if you do subscribe. That will do it for us and the Dugout. But before we get out of here, we want to wish Curtis Rogers and the wife, Mrs. Rogers, and Willa, the baby girl, a nice delivery tomorrow,
well,
my
thank
man.
Thank you, Bump.
And,
thank you.
You take your time, man. You come back when you're ready to go, man.
Yeah, we'll be back in a few weeks, but I really appreciate that, Bump. You and Stacy, you guys have been huge supporters of Brenda and I and our little family. So that means a lot to us coming from you and just everybody that we work with. So we're super excited for the next addition to the Rogers household.
Yes, sir.
And yeah, it's going to be a wild time tomorrow.
All right.
Bright and early.
You guys got to deal with us now. All right, coming up next, Wyman and Bob. Take care.